Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, film lovers.
And that slightly breathy noise just before is Buddy the dog, who is just staring at me. What do you want? Something. Buddy the film Fandango dog. We're here to talk about movies and films and the flicks, etc.
Yeah, and you might think, oh, if you listened last week to our anticlimactical 200th episode,
yes,
that our Marek still sounds ill. It's because we're recording this in advance because I've got to go back to the Isle of Wight for a little break, so that's why I still sound poorly.
Don't worry, Marek hasn't been ill for 2 weeks.
Well, I might still sound like this.
You might be dead.
In which case, I want to say thank you for your patience, first of all,
yeah.
David.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for... thanks to my mum and dad and family for being supportive. And to people working in the industry, I like to say, you know, fuck you. Thanks for never giving me a chance. You assholes.
I'm looking forward to playing this back at your actual funeral, whenever that is.
So you're looking forward to my funeral?
It's going to be great. It's going
to
be.
Do you think you're going to outlive me? You really confident about that?
I'm really confident about that.
Okay.
Well, Marek's been to see a film this week,
yes,
which is a bit more niche than our usual cinema fare, isn't
well,
it?
This is on. This actually, since as regular listeners might know, I live in sort of Crouch End, Muswell Hill area in North London, and my Muswell Hill Odeon.
Mm.
Now it's turned into an Everyman.
Okay.
Which means they're showing films like the documentary I went to see, which an Odeon would never show documentaries before.
Not really. You know, maybe Amy or Senna.
Yeah.
But nothing particular. So what's it called?
This is called The Wolf Pack.
The Wolf Pack. And what's it about?
Well, it is about a family who live in this flat. Excuse me. In the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and it's in a sort of quite a rough area, in this big block, quite high up in this block, and there are seven children, and the parents and mums just sort of ex-hippie, and the dad's just they don't say where he's from. He looks like he might be Peruvian or
right. That
somewhere in South America, and they grew up in this flat, and because the dad doesn't want to work, but he's so concerned about the ideas of the West infiltrating his children and the violence outside, is that the kids have been brought up, these six boys and a girl, we didn't really hear about the girl, in the flat, and sometimes they only ever leave like once a year, and they've just spent their entire youth like sort of these almost like feral children in this flat, and the only way they escape is through watching films.
Wow.
So they...
But they've let a documentary crew into them.
Well, I think this is... It shows them and their progression through... The documentary person obviously came in later on.
Right.
And had this footage of them when they were younger. And interviewed them. And
so
they,
it's home videos they've used.
It's a lot for those bits, yeah. Home videos with sort of more modern stuff. And it shows them literally all watching films. and they've made their own, they've copied out and printed out like hand, like you would do when you were children, handwritten scripts. They've made to type script. They all learnt different characters.
Yeah.
Their favourite scripts are things like Reservoir Dogs and things like Pulp Fiction, where they, cause there's seven, there's lots of parts they can all these boys can play, and they've made all the props, a set of tape and masking tape, like Batman. They've done, but you know, Dark Knight Returns. The Batman costume is amazing, and it's made out of a yoga mat and cereal packets. So they've created a whole fantasy world that they go and make these films for fun, remakes of films they watch,
yeah,
as their way of not going mad. And interviews in, and then one day, one of the kids goes out. He decides, because their dad's got the keys to the front of the house, so he lets them out. One day, when their dad goes out, he decides to let himself out of the flat. But because he doesn't want people to know who he is, he wears one of his props out as a head. Guess what sort of head would you wear with you, if you were going to go wandering around New York? Character's paper mache head would be one of the worst you could wear
in New York?
Yeah, or anywhere in particular.
Hitler?
No.
That'd be pretty bad.
Michael Myers.
Okay.
From Halloween.
Wow.
So this 15-year-old decides he's going to go out because he doesn't want anyone to know who he is. And these kids have all got long hair, you know, straight hair, and they look quite, sort of half Peruvian. They're quite odd, and they're dressed in sort of like, as if someone's an alien trying to
mimic humankind.
So it's fascinating. I don't think it really ever touches. There's some sort of dark stuff going on that is alluded to.
Yeah,
and one of the kids is quite dark, and they interview about three or four of the kids, and they follow them. And obviously, since then, they start going out more, and they gradually rebel against their father's almost like tyrannical oppression, which has led to them being in prison pretty much.
Right.
And they gradually get out, and you see what they're doing now. So it's fascinating to see. What is fascinating is seeing the endeavour and the work they've created this world to, you know, as a way of them surviving.
Yeah.
And they can see what's all about it. They're not separated from society. From their window, they can see New York, and there's footage of people walking around and all these cars.
So like they can busy see freeway. It. They're just not allowed to interact with it at all.
It's miraculous how just. It's a bit like those stories when you have, you know, people didn't realise that next door there was someone, you know, being held hostage for 15 years below, or, oh, well, that guy's got a slave, he's not allowed out of the house, but no one knows because no one
mentioned their name at the door. It's reminded me of a film Tom Tuck brought into the podcast many, many weeks ago, months ago even. It was called Apple, or The Apple, something like that.
Okay.
And it was a documentary, again, I think set in Iraq, maybe, but about two young girls who were locked in their flat by their dad, who just wouldn't let them out because he was too afraid of what might happen to them. And it's about, you know, sort of social services getting involved and eventually getting them to... But really odd, you know, because they've only got each other and their parents for company. That's it. That's the only perspectives of the world they've ever seen.
I mean, these kids are really intelligent and sophisticated kids.
Yeah.
So their mum homeschooled them, and she did quite. They all seemed, I don't know, it doesn't really delve too much.
Mm.
That would be my criticism. I think, should the documentary maker have pushed it a bit more and spoke to the father more? It seems all a bit. It's a brilliant story, but is there some. There's a hint at a darkness that's not fully explored.
Right. Because that, I mean, there is something deeply dark about locking all of your kids up and not letting them out. I mean, surely that. It shouldn't be like, oh, they dress up as film characters.
But and why weren't social services involved? Yeah, they are going to see psychologists now, and they have them. But that's not really. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Right.
But as a, you know, as a different documentary, it's great. It has that sort of problem with documentaries. We're so used to watching films, and we're so used to having that arc and having that final ending to the story.
Mm.
Most documentaries don't have that, unless they're sports documentaries, which gives you that perfect, you know, sporting ending.
Or they're about, you know, somebody's life ending tragically short.
Yeah.
Know, like Senna or Amy, where you do have a sad ending, you know, that you know is coming.
Yeah, so there isn't that sort of ending. But I thought it was very interesting. I was quite refreshed that something like this would get a cinema release.
Yeah, it sounds like uncharacteristic cinema fare, doesn't it?
It's in that we're in the really weird lull, which is endless summer holidays.
Yeah, but before October.
Before October, before... So this is where you're going to get those art house films.
The blockbusters start again with Skyfall in October, and then we're into Star Wars and all of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The end of the summer holidays. The 1 week...
You get you can put good your quality
films. Art house films... Make it into mainstream cinema.
Wow, so how many Marricks would you
get? Seven Marricks.
Is it the Wolfpack or just Wolfpack?
It's the Wolfpack.
The Wolfpack. All right, well, track it down, people. It sounds interesting.
Oh, I've got an email here.
Who's it from?
It's from Geoff Walters, and he speaks like an old British general.
Does he? Am I doing
I'm sure he does. Yeah, my voice has hurt me, so you have to do all the reading.
Okay, fine. Geoff Walters. Old British general, did you say?
Right, why, hello there, Merrick, buddy, David. Over the past few weeks, I note that you've been asking for recommendations from the streaming service Netflix, and its kind. With this in mind, I thought I might suggest a trip down science fiction memory lane. You see, as youngsters, myself and my brother Michael rather enjoyed the releases from B-movie outlets like Empire Pictures and Full Moon. These were shocking horror and sci-fi cash-ins, sort of the Sharknadoes of their day. Back then, the special effects were all very Harryhausen, and the costumes and set design was comical at best. But these films were great outlets for actors and scriptwriters trying to break through, so there are some real gems to be found. Anyway, I'd like to suggest a B-movie sci-fi double feature to your listeners. My first suggestion is the classic Robot Jocks. It's one of the few live-action mecha films ever made outside of Pacific Rim. It has real heart, and of course the amazing catchphrase, crash and burn. To follow, I'd recommend the only classic alien boxing movie I know, Arena. A man has four arms, another man fights a giant alien cricket. What's not to like? Both of these films are currently on Netflix. Robot Jocks is screaming out for a camp comedy remake, in my opinion. Anyway, I speak like an old British general, so that's the voice to shoot for. Wolfsball!
Of course, Wolfsball.
Kind regards, John Walters.
I've spat all over your laptop there doing that.
That's alright, I mean, that's probably clean it.
I haven't searched for B-movies on Netflix, that sounds like a good idea.
Robot Jocks.
Yeah.
Now, we were just talking about Netflix before. We thought before, a lot of people said that they found our Netflix recommendations quite useful. So we thought we're going to go through in the second half and talk about some films we've seen that you might like to watch.
Now, I've got a couple on Netflix.
My problem, we're talking about the Netflix. Excuse me.
You're right.
The Netflix interface is a total load of shit.
Apparently it's an incredibly sophisticated algorithm as well. Somebody's tried to hack it, you see. Someone's tried to unpick what it is. And you know where it says, you know, sexy films with a dog in them, or, you know, films with Gene Hackman near a lamp.
I can't believe wacky. Oh, I'm looking through mine now.
Yeah.
Wacky films. I mean, who actually goes, oh, I really fancy it. Would I really fancy watching a wacky film? Or maybe has their algorithm thing decided that I'm some sort of arsehole?
It probably thinks you like wacky films. It listens to you as you sleep and goes,
why is there not a list of the films? Just write a list of it.
Well, that's interesting, and I think you've probably hit on something there. Maybe they predicted that if people know the entire catalogue, if they can read the entire catalogue of the service, they know exactly what it is they're paying for, and they go, oh, it's not that great. Whereas if you can mystify people, you can never find on Netflix the full catalogue. Then you always imagine it's bigger than it is.
I found Robot Jocks now. Now I'm worried about clicking on Robo Jocks, and then I'll get films about robotic men. So if you put Robo in, RoboCop,
yeah,
RoboCop 3, RoboSapien, I've just put Robo Jocks, Robotic Machinations TED Talks,
yeah,
Robotech The Shadow Chronicles, Power Rangers Megaforce, and The Great Train Robbery.
Robbery. The Robbery.
But half these films that I would never even know.
No, we're on there unless you put the word Robo in. What happens if you put the word fat in?
Fat.
Fat.
F-A-T. F-A-T.
F-A-T.
Fat, Sick and Nearly Dead. The World's Fattest Man. Father Brown. Fat, Sick and Nearly Dead 2. And then Big Fat Gypsy Gangster.
Okay.
Sins of My Father. I mean, I don't
Sins
even
of
know.
My Fatter.
I want to find a complete list of what is on
You can't.
Netflix.
You can't. It's impossible. They've hidden it. They've hidden it all. any recommendations, Merrick?
Well, there's a lot of people should have seen already, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yep.
No Country for Old Men. Step Brothers. Into the World's quite interesting.
I saw one recently that is an old classic that I just hadn't seen. It's not one that people talk about very often, but I thought it was excellent, which is Escape from Alcatraz. Clint Eastwood film, 76, is it?
Something. I recommended it last time we did the Netflix.
Oh, that's
thing.
Right, you did. Well, I thought it was excellent. I thought it was absolutely excellent. But I think it's probably been overshadowed by Shawshank Redemption, because the plot is similar. The way he escapes is very similar. Shawshank Redemption is a better told story. It's almost the same story, but Shawshank is just told in a more interesting way.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is, you know, based on true events in terms of how he actually escaped Alcatraz, it's really interesting. And it's got some shocking moments as well. It's not just, you know.
It reminds you how good Clint Eastwood was.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a documentary on there I watched really recently, and Netflix has started doing. There's a talk of them. I'm really sorry about my coughing, everyone. There's talk of Netflix dropping a whole load of films. They're changing their contracts and becoming more of a producer of content of its own
TV
right.
Shows.
Yeah, yeah. But they occasionally do some interesting documentaries. And one is What Happened to Miss Simone, which is a documentary about Nina Simone, who I was always thought was just a great singer, but she was an incredible classical pianist, and that was her first love, and she just sang to work in clubs to get money, to get by. This is a really fascinating documentary where they've got footage of her daughter, her husband, previous footage of her, and how she dealt with sort of being bipolar pretty much.
Right.
And her career and how she spoke out for, you know, for the black civil rights movement, and then lost a lot of her, was so vocal about it, and so that she lost a lot of work.
Yeah.
And ended up changing the course of her career. That's a really fascinating documentary. There's also a really great documentary, I think, which has influenced so many documentaries now on TV. It's called Spellbound. It's about the 1990...
Oh, the Spelling Bee thing.
The Spelling Bee one. And there are programmes which have basically lifted this idea of a format.
Yeah.
Because it gives you that... It's a documentary which gives you the ending. You know, you've got... You're following eight kids. Like I just talked about, you haven't... With Wolfpack, you haven't necessarily got that big ending.
Yeah.
Here, you've got...
You've
which
created
one of these kids,
a sports movie by
yeah,
making
it, is,
it about...
Is,
yeah.
Spelling Bees are just like sports films.
Yeah.
So I'd really recommend that. Oh, with Calvary, which you recommended last
Calvary,
year.
Calvary, yeah, yeah. With
I thought it was fantastic.
Brendan Gleeson, yeah. It's
Brendan Gleeson is absolutely incredible.
Oh, he's brilliant, isn't he? I really, really like it. This is the follow-up, I guess, to The Guard. It's the same director team. I think maybe same producer. And The Guard's excellent as well, but they're both Brendan Gleeson films.
And of course, Netflix, if you're watching films that you would never, ever watch, because they put Diana on there now. And I would never pay to watch that film.
No.
So that might be worth giving that a bash and seeing how that works.
Now, I noticed something interesting watching a film on Netflix the other day. I say interesting, I might be quite wrong. I might be the only person who thought this was a little bit weird. But I watched the, for the first time, I hadn't seen it, the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The one with Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
And, Jeff Goldblum and Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Incredible team. Brilliant film. Brilliant film, first off. But the thing that I thought was really weird was that there is a shot in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and potential spoilers, but not really. The last shot you see of Leonard Nimoy is his hand up to a plate of glass as he is trapped in a room, and then it cuts to a shot of a ship, and the soundtrack is a bagpipes version of Amazing Grace. Now, that is exactly what happens in Wrath of Khan when Spock dies and puts his hand up, and the tune that Scotty plays at his funeral is a bagpipe version of Amazing Grace.
Wow.
And Wrath of Khan came out after Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I mean, it's up on the internet. This is what the internet is for.
There is no reference to that coincidence at all.
So there's exactly the same death sequence.
Pretty much in Invasion of the Body Snatchers for Leonard Nimoy and in Wrath of Khan. And I don't know why it's bagpipes Amazing Grace afterward.
You need to get this footage and put it on the internet. And get weirdos on this.
Get them on it. See what they think. Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I will. Well, if anybody knows, then do. Or if anyone else noticed that, then do write in. May as well tell you how. You can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can write to one another on Facebook /filmfandango. Or tweet us @filmfandango, @MrDavidReed and @MarekLarwood. Anything else on Netflix?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think I recommended Battle Royale before.
Yeah.
Howard and Moore we recommended before, which is a great. And there's some. They put some other ones. Everyone's seen Wayne's World.
Yeah, they've recently added To Kill a Mockingbird, so I'm going to watch that. It's about bloody time.
One of the greatest films ever. You haven't seen it, American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Tremors is on there.
Hooray!
Have you not seen Tremors?
Yes, I've seen Tremors.
There's some weird horror films. Have you seen a film called The Sentinel?
Ooh.
A weird, I doubt you have, is it a weird 1970s horror film? The Omen 2, I think is great.
Yep.
Really great. Hard-boiled.
Hard-boiled, I've not seen that in forever. Chow Yun-fat with guns and a baby, right?
Really, really good.
Early John Woo.
Yeah, early John Woo.
Hard-boiled almost invented that genre of just like so many bullets flying indoors and just smashing the walls
to pieces. Enjoyable. It's before, it still feels non-CGI and quite sort of visceral.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's quite good, Netflix, for low-budget films. Someone talked before about time-travelling films. We talked about Primer before. Mm. I watched a film that someone emailed in, and my friend Paul told me about, called Coherence.
Right.
And when you're making a low-budget film, literally you're screwed for sets and stuff like that. And things like The Cube is quite a good low-budget sci-fi.
We've talked about it before, where they've basically, it's set in a series of identical rooms that are lit differently. So they've built one set and then used it again and again.
Coherence is really interesting. It's people have a dinner party around a house. A comet goes over and they're told not to go and look at the comet. And it creates this almost like parallel worlds where they see another, all the lights go out in the area.
Yeah.
And they see another house with lights on. And it turns out that is this comet has somehow created this parallel universe where there are loads of just them around. So it's obviously a great way of making a film where you've only got one house and it's dark outside. And you suddenly expand by using this time traveling device. You suddenly expanded that simple set into just 100 different sets, and they've got to try and work out who is from their house and not the imposters from the other house, and whether they are trying to kill them. I mean, the idea is very complicated and it's really well written. I think the acting is very, very good. The cast are brilliant, so you actually feel like they don't know what's going on. It could have been amazing.
What? Why isn't it?
Because you think there's going to be more drama.
Oh, I see.
I really feel that there's going to be more. There should be more stuff happening, but it's more like the thought processes and trying to follow what's happening in that sort of the puzzle of trying to work out what's happening. You're working out along with one of the characters who is from that house and what's happening in that certain time. But it's fascinating. Coherence is a really good example of a low budget film, and of course, there's a Gorky Park, have you seen that?
No, Gorky Park.
Gorky Park, the old Russian, with one of my favourite actors, William Hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like William Hurt?
I'm not sure about William Hurt. D- Isn't he at the end of History of Violence?
Yes, I think he probably is.
And he's really weirdly comical in what has been a serious film up to that point. It's very strange. He's clearly good. That's the part I remember him in. Wasn't he also in Lost in Space with Matt LeBlanc?
See, I know him from Children of a Lesser God. You ever seen that?
No, you've clearly seen better William Hurt films.
I think in the 80s he was at his best. Children of a Lesser God is a great film when he plays this new speech therapist at a school for deaf people. Good romance. If you like a good rom-com, watch Children of a Lesser God. Anyway, shall we have another quick letter before my voice is all over the place.
That's all right, that's all right. Yes, who's written in?
Well, it is Ben Painter.
Ben Painter. How does he speak, Ben Painter?
Well,
you know him well.
He said, can you do this in the style of Humphrey Bogart? Good luck, David.
Oh, my God. How does Humphrey Bogart speak?
Yes, I just sort of nasally and just quite deep.
Well,
that's Morgan Freeman.
That's Morgan Freeman. How does he speak?
Nothing like Morgan Freeman.
You can't be nasal and deep. They're different parts of your face.
Sorry, am I coughing a bit? Just doing like an American detective.
Out of all the gingers in the world,
you
have
to
walk it away.
Just an old sort of 1940s smoking American detective in his office.
And in a frame.
Not like that. Not like that.
What? So, just a sort, that's New York sort of guy, but it's not
it
a free bowl guy.
Like this. Do you want me to do it?
No, I'll do it. It's okay.
I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it, okay.
I'm just going to do it in a new American detective. Dear Buddy Merrick, David, impossible guest. This is nothing like Humphrey Bogart. Merrick has regularly touched upon watching films with family members from different generations, and the inevitable awkward viewing that consequently can arise when this happens. My nan lived with my family for most of childhood and all the way through to university age life, so we watched lots of films. Many awful films that she wanted to watch, but she did get me to watch a lot of great films from the 20s to 60s that I would probably never have gotten round to watching, including things like African Queen, Casablanca, The Vikings, Some Like It Hot, various Chaplin and Keaton films. She has certainly helped with that part of my IMDb score. Just disappointingly, no Kurosawa films. The downside for her was that sometimes it was my choice of film to watch, which leads to by far my most awkward and uncomfortable watching experience. I watched Naked Lunch with my nan when I was 16, and she was in her mid-70s. I think it's fair to say that she didn't really enjoy it, and I certainly didn't enjoy watching it with her. So my questions for you are, what is the best film you have seen that you probably wouldn't have seen thanks to an older relative? And which film did you have the least comfortable viewing experience watching because of a family member present?
I mean, it's a very specific question. Sorry, Buddy's growling. There's a barking dog on the estate. I can recall it happening. I can't recall what the film was. I was very young, but you know, when sex scenes come on and you're sat there with your parents, the first time it ever happens is mortifying as a kid.
I watched when I Glange Le Fever when I was after I left school, and I was in bed for 3 months.
Yeah,
I watched approximately the first minute and a half of Basic Instinct with my mum.
God.
Where she said, I know this is quite rude and it might not be appropriate, and I literally couldn't. And the first scene is basically thinking triple horn shagging a bloke, and we just sat there. It must have been about 45 seconds. Went, yeah, I don't think this is right. It was awful. And being so ill that I couldn't actually move or do, I was iller than I stand now. Have you ever had glandular fever?
No.
It was really horrible.
Yeah.
I don't think they've introduced me to any good films.
Well, old people.
No.
No, not introduced me to any good films. My grandparents didn't really watch films. I've said before, My uncle bought my grandfather a copy of Striptease, the Demi Moore film that was on his bookcase. He never watched it. It's a really odd thing to do.
Yeah.
And a copy of High Spirits, the Peter O'Toole, Steve Guttenberg comedy.
Great doubleheader.
Great doubleheader. And Titanic. I don't think he ever watched any of them. Really odd choice of films, though. I assume they were on special offer.
We've got another letter.
Yeah?
It's from Dodsey in Scotland.
Dodsey?
That's what he's written.
Dodsey. Right. Hello, film lovers. If you read this out, could I have a really stereotypical Scottish accent?
Done.
I am in the middle of listening to the latest episode, and David mentioned about Danielle guessing the twist of Shutter Island, and I guessed the twist from the trailer. I'm not saying I'm a pretentious clever dick, but more of the trend for trailers giving far too much away. Do you get annoyed by film marketing in the same way? And a cheeky follow-up question. What is your favourite actor's mannerism? Basically, in every film, the actor does the same move, which takes you out of the film. It could be Tom Cruise running in all of his films, or Nick Cage being Nick Cage. James Spader is a good example that he always cocks his head to the side to deliver his lines, like in Secretary, Boston Legal, and even Avengers 2 as Ultron. Apologies for the length. Keep watching the films. From Dodsey in Scotland. Sent by Outlook from Android.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's nice to get an Android phone email every now and again. Yeah, things that all actors do all the time.
Oh, are we annoyed by trailers giving too much away? Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
Actors, Morgan Freeman.
What, Morgan Freeman does the same thing?
No, he does a voiceover.
Oh, I see. But mannerisms, though, it's harder to pick out. I'm sure there are people who do, you know, the same thing every time. But
the obvious ones are Al Pacino doing the same sort of weird sounds and shouting.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro doing his look.
It's
Jodie Foster not putting any facial expression.
But I find it quite comforting when you see people being the same thing again. You know, it's like an old trend. They're not trying too hard. They're not a new stranger you have to get to know again. Ryan Gosling does the same thing in every film, really. Lots of hand work without looking at them. You know, lots of hand acting.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of doing... Fiddling with lighters.
Stealing focus.
Yeah, yeah.
And the famous one being Steve McQueen, didn't he, when he got...
Playing with his hat.
Yeah.
On Magnificent Seven.
No. And Yul Brynner got really annoyed with him.
Yeah, he did.
Let's just have another letter, because my voice is really all over the place. It is West Country with a hint of Welsh.
That's Hampstead Welsh again.
I don't know. You can just do some more talking. My voice is about
to go. Okay.
West Country with a hint of Welsh. Hi, David, Marek, buddy, and unlikely guest. Long time listener, first time caller. Love the show. Have either of you watched a documentary called All This Mayhem? I'm in half a mind that it was you who recommended it. Certainly feels like a Marwood kind of film. He's given you a nickname. Marwood is like your celebrity couple. All in yourself.
Wow.
Are you dating yourself at the moment?
No, thanks.
That's a shame.
Probably what's caused his disease.
Anyway, I knew nothing of the tale and wasn't a fan of skateboarding other than playing Tony Hawk's on the PS1. I found it a fascinating doc about two brothers' journey to and from the absolute pinnacle of their game. Without spoiling it, there is a little I can talk about. Let's just say stuff happens. Oh, and the order of the Pappas brother reminded me of a slightly more sane Chopper. It is available on Netflix. Give it a watch. I wholly recommend it. 7 Henrys. Cheers, Henry. P.S. Is it possible to spoil a documentary? Discuss.
I think definitely. I think you could spoil, for instance, Searching for Sugar Man rather easily. It's got a lot of unexpected things happening. Yes.
Well, I think my voice is...
Yeah, I think we should probably let Marek have some time off. I just wanted to inform you, though, going back to our IMDb 250 game, I am about, I think probably a quarter of the way through Interstellar. It's a very long film.
You're going to be catching me soon.
I am, but as soon as I break the Interstellar barrier, I'm smack bang into Psycho. So then I will have to watch Psycho.
And I can't believe you're saying I will have to watch Psycho.
Just, you know, I've seen it. I've seen the Vince Vaughn, superior colour Vince Vaughn version. So.
And while we're on IMDb, one more documentary. If you haven't seen Cinema Paradiso, that's on there. Also, Capote's on there, which is quite interesting. Fargo is good. Fargo's Don't amazing. Watch 2 days and one night. It is total turd. And Headhunters is still on there.
You still sound angry, but Headhunters is great, right?
Yeah, it is great. Right, okay. Network, that is great. 20 Feet from Stardom, that is great.
Wow. There you go. There's some options. If you've got any recommendations for Netflix or Blinkbox, Amazon Prime, if you are that way inclined, Now TV, any of these things, then do please let us know. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. And we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards Film Fandango to keep it free, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. Everyone who has recently, or ever, in fact, over our 201 episodes, thank you very much. You are the reason we keep doing this. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.